present Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Leonard Williams as Theodore Craythorpe, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, and Diana Day as Susan in...
Granddad's Back.
Nothing like a nice cup of tea.
Hey, Mum, are you ready to go to the hospital? It's nearly 6 o'clock, you know.
The visiting time is 7 o'clock on a Friday night.
Oh, heck yes. I forgot. You know, I'll be glad when Grandad's out of hospital. I'm fed up having my neck washed twice a day. Can I go out to play, then?
No, you've just put on your clean clothes. Now, come here. What have you got on your neck?
Skin, what's on yours?
Don't be clever. I hope I can't see a tide, Mark.
So do I. Hey, get off, Mum.
Keep still. Well, your neck's all right for once. And your ears. Well. Clean face, clean shirt, polished shoes. Are you courting?
Oh, don't be funny, Mum. Anyway, lads who go out with girls are daft. Look at Alfie Hall. Ooh, one smile from our Susan, and he changes from a man into a lovesick spaniel. He sits there with his mouth open, waiting for a juicy bone. And what does he get? Scraggy Anna.
All right. Don't be calling our Susan names when she's not here.
Why isn't she here? She ought to be going to see me granddad when he's in hospital.
She went last night. Alfie's taken her to the pictures. They arranged it ages ago. Oh, dear. Who can that be? I was hoping to have a rest for half an hour.
I'll go and get rid of them, Mum.
Yeah, will you be careful what you say?
I know what to say. If they're selling something, we've got it. And if it's the rent, Mum, he's had it.
Don't say nothing of the kind.
All right. Don't wear your thumb out.
Oh, Jim, I thought you remembered coming.
From the look of you, you're nearly gone. Come in, Alfie.
Oh, dear, I've run all the way. I'm worn out.
Well, now you're on the floor, you can have a rest. Hey, I was looking for that. Oh, thanks, Alfie.
Jimmy, what's happened?
Alfie Hall's found me roller skate.
What are you talking about?
Hello, Mrs. Clitheroe.
Hello, Alfie. Are you all right? Jimmy, I've told you about leaving your things all over the house.
Oh, if you left a pin on the floor, he'd fall over it.
Now, don't you be cheeky.
Oh, he's right, Mrs. Clitheroe. Everything's gone wrong since tea time.
How do you mean, Alfie?
Well, I was just starting on my kipper when I remembered I had to meet Susan at 6 o'clock, so I jumped up, slipped, fell on me dad and pushed his head in the custard. Well, my mum said sit down and my dad said drop dead. I got that flustered, I put my knife and fork on the chair, poured salt in my tea, put sugar on my kipper, took a big bite and sat down. A fishbone stuck in my throat and my fork stuck in my driving licence. Can never drink of water.
He must breathe through his ears.
drink of water, Alfie. Yes, of course. I'll have one as well.
Hey, Jim, is Susan sulking upstairs?
I shouldn't think so. If she's had to pay for herself, she'll be sulking downstairs in the 1 and 9s.
What do you mean?
She's gone to the pictures.
Well, I like that. Who's she gone with?
You.
Ah, well, that's different. Give it a whack. Oh, I remember now. I said I'd meet her outside at 6 o'clock. What am I going to do?
A 2-minute mile.
Oh, don't be funny. Susan will be going mad.
Well, don't bring her here. Take her to a vet.
Meanwhile, Alfie, I brought you a cup of tea and said... Oh, has he gone?
I don't think he was ever with us.
I don't know about visiting Grandad in the hospital. After 5 minutes of that fellow, I think Grandad should come and visit us.
Hey, Mum. I think me Grandad's asleep.
So he is. Sister, perhaps we'd better not disturb my father. I'll leave this fruit with you.
Oh, no. You may as well wake him now. Otherwise, he'll never sleep tonight.
Oh, you don't know me granddad, sister. He's the only one I know who can snore his head off while Billy Cotton's shouting, Wakey, wakey!
Well, he probably needs all the rest he can get to cope with you.
Oh, how right you are, sister. The only way to get any rest in our house
is to buy yourself a box of sleeping tablets and then give them to Jimmy.
Well, I can believe you.
Well, I'll see you later, Mrs. Clitheroe. I'm just going to have a word with the doctor about Mr. Sinclair.
Right, your sister.
Come on, Mum, let's go wake Sleeping Beauty.
I can't see the prince kissing him.
I can if Prince was a dog. Come on, there. Close your mouth and open your eyes.
Wake up, Father. He's dreaming, I think.
Yes, he's licking his lips. He's dreaming about the rose and crown.
Father. Father, wake up.
Time, gentlemen, please.
Well, a large whiskey. Hello, Pat, Jimmy. Oh, well, I must have closed my eyes for a few minutes.
You did 3 hours ago.
All right, Jimmy. How do you feel, Father?
Oh, fine, Pat, fine. I've had no pain in my back for 2 days.
Oh, good. The sister said they were very pleased with you. It wasn't a slipped disc after all.
No, just a badly strained muscle in my back. But they say I must be careful about lifting anything heavy.
Oh, well, you'll have to change the light ale.
Ah, that's my boy. You'll soon be cheering me up when I get home, Jimmy.
Well, it won't be many days now, Father. We've missed you very much, haven't we, Jim?
Oh, yes, we have. Every morning when I get up for school, the house is dead quiet. I've missed hearing you singing, "Oh, it's nice to get up in the morning," while you're lying in bed supping tea.
Well, son, I've missed you too.
Mrs. Clitheroe, I've got some very good news for you. I told the doctor Mr. Sinclair could rest at home and there was someone to look after him. So he said he could be discharged tomorrow after lunch.
Thank you, sister.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, smashing, Grandad. Hey, what about this pound of grapes we've brought? You'll never get through that lot by tomorrow.
Ah, well, there's plenty of sick people here to give them to.
How about giving them to me?
You're not sick.
I will be after I've eaten all these grapes. Anybody there? Oh, good. All clear. Oh, that gaff grocer putting the eggs at the bottom of the bag. If I put it on the floor, it'll look as though it's fallen off the kitchen table. Pity we haven't a cat I could blame. I wonder if the woman next door would lend me her cat.
What are you doing?
Oh, you daft thing. I thought me mum had caught me.
Caught you doing what?
I meant called me. Anyway, keep your big nose out of it.
And what if I don't?
I'll nip it with the pliers and you'll walk out cocky like that.
All right, I'll call Mother.
Oh, no, don't, Susan. I didn't mean it. I wouldn't do anything to you, Susan. After all, you're my sister, and brothers and sisters should help each other.
Oh, should they?
Yes, I mean, I'd help you any time. If you want me to do anything, you only have to say the word.
I know. The word I have to say is money. There's something funny in that carrier bag, and I'm going to find out what it is.
Oh, if you don't get out, you'll find something funny, all right. I'll tickle your nut with the frying pan.
Now, that's no way for a loving brother to talk to his sister. I thought we should help each other. Let me see in that bag.
Get off. You're not coming here.
I am. Let go of me.
You're not. Ow. Ooh, you bully.
What are you two doing pushing each other like that?
I was trying.
Teach me the cha-cha.
Nothing of the kind. Anyway, I'll leave him to you now, Mother. I've got to go out. I should have a look at the groceries he's got.
Oh, you...
What's the carrier doing down there, Jimmy?
Oh, it might have fallen off the kitchen table.
It might, but it didn't. I saw him put it on the floor.
I thought you were going, Pinhead.
What is all this?
You'll find out. I'm off. I've got an appointment with the hairdresser.
When you come back, you'll have an appointment with my boot.
Oh, no, Jimmy, you're the limit. A dozen eggs and one of them not broken.
That must be a tuffin. I dropped them on the pavement.
Won't you try to laugh this off? I was taking those to the hospital.
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. Anyway, you're bringing me Grandad home in half an hour. He can eat them here. Hey, what a tuckin'. An 11-egg omelette.
I was giving them to the sister for the nurses. A little thank you gift.
Well, I'll go for some more.
You will not. I'll go out myself and get some chocolate. Now, Mr. Claythorpe is taking me to the hospital in his car, so tell him I'll be back in a quarter of an hour.
Chocolates? Look, look, Mum, I think I ought to go for them, really.
I don't. I'd look a right fool presenting the sister with an empty box.
Now, please, try to keep out of mischief for 5 minutes and put those broken eggs in a bowl.
I'm beginning to think she doesn't trust me. Ah, oh, she's come back to say she's sorry. Come in, Mum. I'll get... Oh, it's you, Alfie.
Yeah, that's right. Who did you think I was, Charlie Drake?
You sound more like Donald Duck.
Yeah, that's right.
Ah, oh, Susan's out.
Yeah, I know. I just met your Mum and she said I could come in and wait for Susan.
Well, come in. I'm waiting for her myself. I've got a little surprise for her.
What is it?
When she gets back from the hairdresser's, I'm going to give her an egg shampoo.
Well, what's she on about?
Oh, I brought some eggs and Big Mouth Bertha let me Mum know. Ooh, that reminds me, I'd better get them out of the carrier bag into a bowl.
I'll give you a hand, Jim. Where are they?
In the kitchen. Come on, then. You know, Alfie, they ought to feed hens with elastic, and then they'd lay rubber eggs.
You'd never be able to collect them.
Why?
Well, every time a hen laid a rubber egg, it'd bounce back again. They get fed up of trying.
Oh, you're as daft as Dicky Duffy. Here, hold the bag. I'll pick the eggs out and put them in this bowl.
Right.
They are dove sticky.
Hey, this reminds me of when I was holding a bag in an orchard while my cousin went up a tree collecting some apples. All of a sudden, the farmer came up behind me and shouted,
"What are you doing?
Get help!"
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I didn't mean to startle you.
Oh, Mr. Craythorpe nearly swallowed me tonsils.
I do apologize, but the front door was open, so I just walked in.
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Craythorpe.
Oh, dear. Have I made you break some eggs?
Oh, no. Jimmy broke...
Sorry, Alfie. It wasn't really your fault, Mr. Craythorpe.
Oh, but it was. And I must pay your mother for them.
Oh, she wouldn't take it, Mr. Craythorpe. But, if you'd like to give it to me...
You'll do nothing of the kind. He broke them, Mr. Craythorpe. I'll tell you the truth.
Oh, all right, George Washington. Go and stand under a cherry tree while I find an axe.
James, you fibber.
I didn't tell a fib. I said it wasn't your fault.
But when you said it wasn't, I knew you meant it was. And you knew I knew, didn't you?
What?
Knew.
Who?
You.
Me?
Yes.
What?
You.
Who?
Me. That's you.
Ha ha, Jim's won. Alfie, do you want to play?
Yes, I don't mind. What are you talking about?
Who?
You.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, shut up and get hold of the bag again.
I don't you talk to me like that.
Well, you dropped it. You should hold it.
Oh, I will hold it.
No, he should do it. Let go, Mr. Craythorpe.
James, I shall get cross with you. Give me that bag.
No, I'll take it.
Yes, give it here.
Will you give me that bag?
Oh, all right. Catch. Oh, egg.
James, my suit. It's all covered in eggs. Oh, how horrible. I can't go to the hospital looking like this.
You know the thing. He suits like yellow jaundice.
Alfie, it's nothing to joke about.
Thank you, James.
I should wipe the egg off your face, though. Or they'll say it's Charlie Chan in a bowl of rat. Sorry, Mr. Craythorpe.
You don't sound it. I must go home and get changed my clothes. I shall be late now taking your mother to the hospital, so you can explain what happened. Perhaps she won't think it's so funny.
Oh, Jim, what are you going to do?
Phone Ozzy Higginbottom's dad. He's got a taxi.
But what are you going to tell your mother?
Who?
You.
Me?
Yes, oh, Rambo.
Oh, are you sure this taxi's coming?
Mum, Mr. Higginbottom promised. He'll be here any minute.
Well, I still don't understand about Mr. Craythorpe. Why should he be showing you a trick with broken eggs?
Well, I was puzzled myself. Oh, he's here. Get your bag, Mum. I'll open the door.
Well, are you ready? Oh, it's you. Look, tell your mother to hurry up. After I've finished with her, I've got 3 loads to take to the football ground.
Loads of what?
What's up, Tiny Tim?
All right, Big Ben.
What's that?
I was wondering what time it is.
It's 10 to 2. We'll be lucky to make it for 2 o'clock.
Is that old thing your taxi?
Yes. What about it?
I think you'll be lucky to make it to the end of the street.
Now, listen. One more word out of you and you'll be wearing my spare wheel for a collar.
Well, I've read in Mr. Higginbottom. We'll have to hurry, though.
Well, that's up to you, ma'am.
What? What do you mean? I'm not driving the taxi.
No, you'll be pushing it.
Well, Mrs. Cicero, they'll be bringing Mr. Sinclair up from the ward in a moment. But remember, we're letting him go earlier than we intended, so he must take it easy and rest.
Oh, don't worry, sister. I'll see that he does that. And I must thank you for all the care and attention he's had here.
Oh, well, that's what we're here for. You have got transport for him, haven't you?
Oh, yes, yes. We've got a taxi waiting outside. Good.
Oh, here's Mr. Sinclair now. Bring the wheelchair over here, nurse.
Hello, Father. Ready for the journey home now?
I'll be sorry to leave all those pretty nurses behind me.
Oh, listen to him, sister.
So Chris don't manage to get here in his fiery chariot, did he?
No, Father. There's been a bit of trouble over Theodore, but we have got transport for you, so don't worry.
Well, as long as I don't have to walk far, I'm still a wee bit shaky on my pins, you
know. It's all right, Father. Mr. Higginbottom's got his taxi right outside the door.
Oh, well, that'll be fine, then. Higginbottom?
Hey, Mrs. Clitheroe. Can we hurry up? Some geezer outside says I'm holding up the traffic.
So I'm riding with you, Higginbottom. I suppose it'll cost me a fortune.
Only the usual. Two above the first mile, one and a tanner every extra mile, 6 months a passenger, plus your luggage.
Presumably no charge for use of ashtrays.
Father, you'll be careful how you drive that taxi. Mr. Sinclair mustn't be jolted about. And remember, Mr. Sinclair, It's straight up to bed for you when you get home. Come along now.
Keep going, Mr. Craythorpe. You're doing fine. A bit more throttle and you'll just about pass that steamroller.
James, save your humor for the classroom, please, and allow me to concentrate on my driving.
When I get home, I'll write a book about this. I was a passenger with Sterling Craythorpe.
I shan't tell you again, James. And I have my gravest doubts whether this really is a shortcut to the hospital.
Of course it is. This is the way we brought Ozzie in the headmaster's car the day he got the marble stuck up his nose. Now, when you get to that horse trough, you turn sharp left, unless you fancy a quick bath.
Very well, James. I only hope we get to the hospital before the others commence the return journey. Look, we're nearing the top of this street. Do I turn left or right?
Let me think. Left or right. I know it's one of them.
James, we're nearly there.
Look out, that taxi coming round the corner on the wrong side.
Oh, I've got it. James, did you see that?
Yes, but you didn't. You had your eyes shut.
Stay in the car, James. The maniac. I'm going to give him the peace of my mind.
No, I'll come with you. If there's going to be a fight, I'd better bring your starting handle.
I'll teach this out a lesson. Step out of the cab, you road hog.
Road hog? I'll stick your head in your big end. You soft-looking... Would you, Craythorpe?
Oh, Higginbottom, are you aware that your front bumper has scraped my body?
You don't shut up, my left fist will scrape your lug hole.
Keep it up, you two. There's a crowd gathering. When it gets big enough, we'll have a whip round for the damage.
Quiet, James. Now then, what do you think you're playing at, coming round the corner like that?
Listen, furry face. It was your fault you and that heap of scrap iron you call a car.
Why, you great oaf.
I don't care whose fault it was. Get me home. You started me back off again.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sinclair, but... Blame this hooligan.
Theodore, what happened?
I'll tell you, ma'am.
What are you doing here, Jimmy?
Oh, I was showing Mr. Craythorpe a shortcut to the hospital when round the corner comes Ben Hur Higginbottom. And when I looked round, I saw Mr. Craythorpe's face. He'd gone green.
How long am I going to be stuck in here? I'm freezing in this ice box.
Oh, don't worry, Grandad. We'll soon sort it out.
Now then.
Well, this policeman will.
Yes, I happen to witness this little spot of honor.
Good. Then perhaps you will arrest this lout Higginbottom for dangerous driving.
Oh, I couldn't very well do that, sir.
But he was driving on my side of the road.
He was entitled to. This is a one-way street.
Oh, heck.
You might well say, oh, heck.
Well, I didn't know it was a one-way street.
You could have looked out for the sign.
I couldn't. I was watching your speedometer, because we were going like mad up the road and it wasn't moving at all.
Oh, defective speedometer, eh? That's serious.
Look, Constable, whilst you're arresting Crippen here, can I shove off? After all, I was in the clear.
You can if you like, because now I've got your number, I can book you later on.
What?
I don't see any windscreen wiper on that taxi.
Well, I know. I mean, I was going to
and
get it.
And that rear mudguard's a bit loose, not to mention the fact that you're carrying passengers and your flag's not down.
The old man here is not very well, and I didn't want his blood pressure going up faster than the meter.
Constable, my father's just come out of hospital. We want to get him home.
I see. Well, I'll have to take some notes, of course, but I'll be as quick as I can. We'd just go and have a look at your car first, Mr.
Kratom. Theodore Kratom. And I assure you, Constable, I am a very law-abiding citizen of this town.
Poor Mr. Kratom. Hey, do you think they'll send him to Devil's Island?
You can cut out the jokes, young man. I'll deal with you when we get home.
If my Ozzy had caused all this trouble, I'd make his skin tingle for him.
What would you do? Scrub his neck?
I'll belt you in a minute.
All right, Mr. Higginbottom. Jimmy's my son and I'll handle him. Now listen to me. There'll be no football for you this afternoon, no television tonight, and you'll manage without this week's pocket money.
What? Oh, but, Mum, I must watch the telly tonight. It's tenderfoot.
If your granddad gets near you with his walking stick, you'll be tender and it won't be on your foot.
Oh, come on, Jimmy. You've got a face like two pennies of wet right. Isn't there any way I can cheer you up?
No, I'm fed up.
Oh, well, I know how you feel. Yeah, after all, I was a lad myself once.
Were you really?
Well, of course I was. Well, I must have been. I went to the same school as you go to.
Oh, yes. I've seen the carving on the lid of one of the desks. Alfie Hall slept here.
Now, that'll do. No, I was just going to say that when I got into trouble, my dad was a terror. His motto was clout first and ask questions afterwards. You remember once a right man called and I gave him dad's best suit by mistake. I should have known it was his best suit because there was a pack of cards and a bottle opener in right-hand pocket. You know, when he got home, he went raving mad. He said, what did you get for it? I said, two tiddlers in a jam jar. He said, that's not enough and give me a thick ear as well. My head went numb.
Well, don't worry. It's bound to wear off sooner or later.
Jimmy, for somebody who's supposed to be in trouble, you're very cocky. Don't you mind having your pocket money stopped?
Oh, I can soon get some money.
You're getting no money out of me.
All right. So you don't want to hear about Susan and the milkman?
No, I do not. So you can put that in your pipe and Susan. What about it?
Oh, it's just something our milkman asked her this morning. You know him, that tall, good-looking chap. Who's mad keen to take her out. He knows you. He calls you bladder chops.
Does he? He's asking for a thump in his drink, a pint of milk a day. Yeah, what did he ask you, Susan?
Oh, well, I don't know whether I should tell you. I mean, I only heard them talking by accident while I was crouching behind the dustbin. Anyway, it's not important.
All right, how much?
What do you mean, Alfie?
But look, here's a shilling. Go on, take it.
Oh, no, I don't think I could. After all, Susan may not be perfect, but good or bad, she's my sister.
Look, will you stop talking like Mrs. Dale and take this one and six?
I couldn't, Alfie.
But too bad, then.
All right, I'll force myself. Thanks, Alfie.
Well, but come on, what did the milkman say to you or Susan?
He said, tomorrow, don't forget...
Ah, go on.
Leave out your empties.
Oh. Jimmy, well, you crafty little monkey. Oh, you wait till Susan comes. I'll tell her.
What were you telling?
You are lopping up.
What?
Don't know. Not you, Susan. It's your brother here, the little Robin. Nod. He tried to get me jealous about you and the milkman.
Oh, we haven't time to bother with him now. I've got to go and buy a new hot water bottle for Grandad and buy Mr. Craythorpe a thermometer.
Thermometer? Oh, I've got that. It's in me goldfish bowl. I'll take it up to him.
Look, if you put it in the goldfish bowl, it should be washed first.
Don't be daft. Goldfish aren't that fussy.
I mean, before Mr. Craythorpe puts it in Grandad's mouth, you've got to...
I know what to do. They told us about it at school.
Well, hurry up with it.
Come on, Alfie. You can walk to the shops with me and tell me what little Jimmy Liar said about the milkman.
Yeah, right, Susan. I'll see you later, little Lord Bully Boy.
I'd better take the thermometer up now before there's any more trouble. Now, what did our teacher say? All surgical instruments must be, hypnotized. Oh, it was something like that. I know, you stick them under the hot water tap. So I'd better do that.
There you are, Mr. Sinclair. Those pillows should be quite comfortable now.
Ah, well, thank you, Theodore. Ah, you're a proper little Florence Nightingale, and no mistake.
There's no need for sarcasm.
Oh, I'm sorry, Theodore, but well, thank you for the daffodils. They're very nice. Did Pat say she was cooking me a meal?
Yes, it should be ready soon. Now, what can I lend you in the way of books? I've brought a few in the car. There's that Great Expectations, The Mill on the Fluff, or if you're feeling whimsical, there's Alice Through the Looking Glass. Oh, and I've got The Wind in the Willows.
So have I. I'm starving.
Father, a nice big plate of steak and chips for you.
Ah, well, now, isn't that a sight to gladden the eyes? My first square meal for a week. Well, here's all.
Just a moment, Mr. Sinclair. Don't eat yet.
What?
I must take your temperature first.
Look, Theodore, I can assure you, once I get this little lot inside me, there'll be no danger of a relapse.
Now, Father, Theodore's right. There's no sense in eating all that hot food first. Now, where's Susan with a thermometer?
Here you are, Mum. I've got it. Come on, Grandad. Open wide. Not too wide. I don't want to put my head in.
Give the thermometer to Mr. Crayshaw. Go on.
Oh, go on. Let me do it. I like playing at doctors.
Jimmy, keep your thieving hands off my chips. Look, just stick that thermometer under my tongue.
Right, Grandad. That's it. Now, close your mouth. That's right. Ooh, that steak looks good. Can I just have a little...
Leave her alone, you young rascal.
Well, if I get some bread, can I have a dip in your gravy?
That'll do. Just go downstairs this minute. Go.
But, Mum!
James, this is a sick room, not a snack bar. Now, Mr. Sinclair, I just take the thermometer and read it. Good heavens!
What's up, Mr. Craythorpe?
Your grandfather. He's 104.
Happy birthday to you.
Jimmy! What shall we do?
Now, keep calm, Mrs. Clitheroe. We must get all the blankets and hot water bottles you've got.
Look, Craythorpe, I don't know what all this is about, but I feel fine, so just let me eat in peace.
Oh, no, there's no food for you, Mr. Sinclair.
What?
You know what they say about starving a fever? Eating is out of the question. Mrs. Clitheroe, we'd better take this tray downstairs and telephone the doctor.
But I'm starving.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sinclair.
Well... that's the steak and chips finished. Oh, I feel full. It's a wonder my braces haven't busted.
All right, Jimmy, don't gloat. I only gave it to you because I didn't want it wasted. Oh, the doctor's a long time up there, Theodore.
And now, don't worry. I know Mr. Sinclair's temperature was very alarming, but I'm sure we spotted it in time. Ah, here's the doctor now.
Oh. Well, Doctor... how is he?
Well, frankly, Mrs. Clitheroe, I'm very puzzled. I gave him a good checkup, and when I took his temperature just now, it was quite normal.
Oh, that is very strange. But I assure you, my thermometer did show 104.
Are you sure there's nothing wrong with your thermometer? I mean, they can break easily, you know.
Well, it was all right when I hypnotized it.
Hypnotized it? Oh, you don't mean sterilized it?
Yes, I put it under the hot water tap.
What?
Well... that explains the high temperature, I think.
Oh, Jimmy, you again. I'm sorry we troubled you, Doctor.
Not at all. Anyway, you needn't worry about your father anymore.
Oh, good. Grandad's all right. Shall I go and tell him, Mum?
Yes. And tell him what happened to his steak and chips.
All right. What? Oh, heck. I ate him and he's starving. He'll flay me alive. Oh, Doctor, don't go yet.
Why, Sonny?
When me grandad's finished with me, I'll need some splints on me sit-upon.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Leonard Williams, Danny Ross, Diana Day, Tony Melody, Tom Harrison, and Betty Alberg. The recorded program, written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, was produced by James Casey and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
I thought you might like to know Grandad's feeling a lot better now. I took him a bowl of cornflake crispies up as a peace offering, and then I told him about the steak and chips. He went white, but he didn't shout. He just said, "Jim, listen how these cornflake crispies go, snap, crackle and pop." And then he poured the lot all over me head. Get off.